Okay. Just wanted to wrap up, really, and just a few thoughts before we finish this morning. Can everybody see the manger scene? Yeah, okay. I always have props, don't I? Guy, I just need this up here. Okay, I'll bring the table. Alrighty. So the first Christmas decoration that comes out in our house every Christmas is the nativity scene. Can you see this? Yeah? I love our nativity scene. It's one of those things that you fall in love with instantly, or you don't, you know, with your own, it's very personal. And I love this one. And one of the main reasons why I really like this nativity scene is because every piece is looking at Jesus, is looking at the baby in the manger. In fact, if they were to be looking anywhere else, it would kind of look a bit awkward, because all of these pieces here are looking with such love and such adoration in their eyes. It's okay, the sheep don't. They look out, the donkey and the cow, they don't. They're looking out, that's okay, but everyone else is looking. And obviously, Mary and Joseph are, they're gazing at their son Jesus. And the three wise men have come and they've bowed down towards the King of Kings. And even the shepherd is looking at this baby in the manger. And they're all looking at the Christ child. But I think that that's where the similarities might have stopped for the first Christmas. You see, what I've noticed this year is the fact that all of these figurines are colour coordinated. Even the cow and the donkey have managed to coordinate themselves beautifully with the three opulently dressed kings. The shepherd boy doesn't look like he's too out of place, and of course Mary and Joseph are dressed beautifully to be the parents of the baby king. And while it's pleasing to the eye, I'm pretty sure that they didn't all get together, as we might do now, and text each other and say, "What are you wearing?" Mary wasn't going to say, "I'm wearing red," and everyone else back off. No. He didn't. This picture looks a little bit too perfect for me. In my cupboard at home, I have some mugs. I have lots of mugs. And I wish that I could be one of those people who could have everything all matching. You know, all the plates and bowls and, you know, saucers and everything matching. But unfortunately, after 23 years of family life, we don't have a whole lot of matching stuff. And that's okay, really, because there are times when we might have between 20 or 30 people over for dinner, life group dinner, and we have a collection of plates, and it's absolutely fine. It doesn't matter that it's matching. As long as you've got a plate you can put your food on, everyone's happy. But my mugs are a little bit different. You see, I quite like certain mugs for certain occasions. Okay, and I quite like some mugs for cups of tea and some mugs for my coffee. Okay, this one here is quite a pretty one. And I quite like it when I'm having some time to myself. It can be either a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. I quite like to have this one. It's got a scripture on it. "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord." It's my pretty girl cup. But if I am wanting a big cup, if I'm wanting a big cup of tea or a big cup of coffee, then I will go for a bigger one. It doesn't look that big, but it holds a whole lot. Or if Guy wants a big manly coffee, this is what he might get it in. If we have little children over, and they want a baby chino, then this will be the baby chino cup. Now, I quite like having some girlfriends over for coffee and cake. Although we don't do cake anymore, but if we did have, you know, coffee with cake, then I've got a set where I've got matching plates and cups, and so I would have those there as well. And they're really beautiful. And then if we have a whole group of people over, okay, I don't have enough to have all the same, but I have lots of white mugs, yeah? So they don't clash. They're different, which is quite good, so you know whose is who. But you have lots of different ones there. And then if you come over, kind of unannounced, and I haven't cleared the dishwasher, and you want a cup of tea, then you will just get whatever's there. And as I look at this collection of cups, I'm not sure if you can see this, but I kind of think that this would be a bit more like the real nativity scene would have been like. You see, the perfectness of this scene doesn't truly portray the stories that we've heard this morning. This one seems a little bit more real to me. This cup speaks of Mary, who, filled with wonder and awe, poured out her worship and adoration to the baby Jesus. Here's Joseph, who was a bit reticent to begin with, stood strong and sturdy to support Mary and to become the father that Jesus needed. This is beautiful. Looks like royalty. Baby Jesus. The three kings, regal and handsome, looking kind of quite out of place in the barn, but what united them all was their hearts of worship and adoration. Our angels along the back, all the same but different, singing their songs of praise and worship to Jesus. And then the shepherds, a group of all sorts. What brings them all together, what brings cohesion to all of this, is that they all came to worship Jesus. The journeys to their point, to this point here, to this point, is all very different, but very significant. As much as our journeys are all very different and very significant, very real and personal. What brings them all together here is that they were all filled with worship and adoration. We don't need to be picture perfect to worship Jesus, because this isn't real, this is manufactured. You see, God calls us as we are, where we are, to come with what we have, to be filled with his love, to be filled with his glory, that we too may bow down and worship Christ the Lord. We are empty vessels, beautiful on our own, different and significant, but together, filled with God's love and power, his Holy Spirit, we create a scene of whose beauty is because of our worship and adoration of Jesus. This picture, to me, is one of the church. It is beautifully summed up in Ephesians 2:19-22. That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. The kingdom of faith, this kingdom of faith, is now your home country. You are no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here and what he is building. He used the apostles and the prophets to lay the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in, brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day by day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple with which God is quite at home. It is my prayer that you wouldn't stress over Christmas this year being picture perfect and colour coordinated. In fact, it is my prayer that you would take some time, have a cuppa, to be still and to be filled with the wonder and awe of Jesus. This child who came, small and vulnerable, who brought salvation and hope into the world, who was to show us all the way, the truth, and the life. Through his hands he would bring healing. Through his words he would bring revelation. Through his very presence he would bring heaven to earth. Let us be like the living nativity scene. All different and significant people coming together to worship and adore him, Christ the child.